I turn to Psalm 84. Read the first four verses and then verse 9 and verse 10. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, for they will still be praising thee. Selah. Verse 9, Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. In this psalm, the psalmist in the first four verses and in verse 10, especially in verse 1, is expressing his fascination, his affection, his desire, his appreciation, his appetite and his inclination, his regard for the house of God. It is important that we realize that when David makes reference to the house of God, he's referring to the tabernacle, the Solomon's temple, had not yet been built. The tabernacle and the temple are both referred to as God's house. Jesus referred to the temple as my house in Matthew 21 and verse 13. And both the tabernacle and the temple serve as types of the Lord's church, which in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 is called the house of God. The house of God. The term the house of the Lord is used 213 times in the Bible, and the phrase the house of God is used 87 times. That's a total of 300 times where we read either the house of God or the house of the Lord. That does not include all the other references to the tabernacle, all the other references to the temple, all the other references to the church. So we see that God's house has a primary place throughout the Word of God. Throughout the book of Deuteronomy, we read over and over God directing His people to the place the Lord your God shall choose, referring to the tabernacle. He's telling them that they were to bring their offerings to the place that God had chosen, to a special, to a particular place. In this message, we want to observe the psalmist as he refers to this place of God, this place of God's appointing, and we want to see his heart and his attitude toward this place. Again, it's a picture of the church today. We have two main points, 22 subpoints. We will only spend a couple minutes on each subpoint. But we want to speak on God's house, a special place. God's house, a special place. And we'll be looking at several of the Psalms in which David uses this term, the house of God or the house of the Lord. First of all, notice here in Psalm 84, the psalm, he recognizes it as God's house. In verse 10, he refers to the house of my God. The house of my God. Now just think about those words. The house of my God. How special of a place that has to be. The house of my God. It is the special dwelling place of God. Where a person dwells takes on the character of that person. A person's dwelling place reveals some characteristics of that person. You can just drive by a house and observe some things, and you can learn something about the people that live there. A house reveals the person. And there is such a place as the house of my God. He has absolutely everything that I need. And He has a house. He has a place on earth where He dwells. There is a place where we can expect to find Him. A place where we can expect to meet Him. It is His special dwelling place. It is the place where God has promised to meet His people. Matthew 18 and verse 20, referring to His church, He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them." Well, we're not going to have services today because only two or three are going to show up. And so is the Lord. You don't call off services because two or three people are going to be there. Because where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. The most important person in the church is the one who's in the midst, Jesus Christ. So we see this is a special place of God. Again, throughout the book of Deuteronomy, God directs His people to meet Him in the place which He chose. And oh, what a blessing it is to know that God has a house. And what a blessing it is to know where that house is. And what a blessing it is to be able to have access to the house of God. Again, just think upon those words. The house of my God. The house of my God. He is the owner of this house. Notice here in Psalm 84. In verse 1, he refers to thy tabernacles. He refers to the, in verse 2, as the courts of the Lord. In verse 3, thine altars. In verse 4, thine house. And in verse 10, thy courts. Everything in this house is His. It's His house. He owns it all. And He's placed everything in the house where He wants it. So when we read those words, the house of my God, the psalmist is recognizing it as a place of distinction. It's not like every other place in the world. It's different. It's the house of my God. He also recognized it as the place of God's honor. Notice in Psalm 26, verse 8, we're looking at how David recognized the house of the Lord. We have 12 points under this. First of all, he recognized it as God's house. Secondly, he recognized it as the place of God's honor. Psalm 26 and verse 8, "Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth." A place where the character of God dwells. A place where the character of God abides. The place where thine honor dwelleth. This makes it an illustrious place. It is a place where God's honor. It makes it an eminent place. There is not a more illustrious place on planet earth than the house of my God. There is not a more eminent place in all the world than the house of the Lord. And this is how the psalmist viewed this place. Notice in Psalm 27, verse 4, he recognized it as the place to contemplate God's beauty. Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Why does he want to dwell there? To behold the beauty of the Lord. In this verse, the psalmist declares his desire to dwell, to abide in the house of God. That is, he wanted to get there, and he didn't want to leave there. There's something wrong when people are constantly in a hurry to get out of the house of God. I mean, where are you going? You're not going any place better. You're not even going any place equal. This is the most eminent, the most illustrious place on the earth. And yet many times God's people are in such a hurry to get out the doors. The psalmist said he wants to dwell in the house of the Lord. The reason? Because in the house of the Lord, he says, I can behold, I can see, and I can contemplate, think upon the beauty, the loveliness, the magnificence of the Lord. Fourthly, he recognized it as a place of information. Notice also in Psalm 27, verse 4. Another reason he wanted to dwell there all the days of his life and to inquire in his temple. To inquire in his temple. He wanted to seek, he wanted to get to God's house. And he wanted to get the information that can only be found in God's house. There's no better information anywhere else than the information that you can find in God's house. And the psalmist says, I want to dwell there. I want to dwell there to behold the beauty of the Lord. But I want to dwell there to inquire. That is, I want to dwell there to gain useful information. There is a place. There is a place where one can find the most useful, the most beneficial, the best instruction, the best guidance, the best direction and enlightenment, and it is going to be found in the house of my God. There's a place to inquire. Fifthly, Psalm 36, verse 8. Psalm 36, verse 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. He recognized the house of God as a place of fulfillment. Notice there in Psalm 36, verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with what? With the fatness of thy house. With the abundance of thy house. The house of my God. God owns everything. There isn't anything that he does not own. Think of the abundance that is in the house of my God. They shall be satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And then notice also in Psalm 36, verse 8, and thou shalt make them drink of the river, the waterway of thy pleasures. That is, they shall be satisfied, they shall drink from that which brings delight, from that which brings enjoyment, from that which brings contentment, from that which brings gratification. They shall be abundantly, bountifully satisfied. In a world that cannot satisfy a single spiritual need, it's good to know that there is a place of spiritual fulfillment, and it is in the house of my God. Sixthly, Psalm 55, verse 14. Psalm 55, verse 14. He recognizes it as a place of fellowship. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Notice two words, together and in company. We read in Acts 4 and verse 23 concerning Peter and John, and being let go, they went to their own company. Speaking of the church of Jerusalem. That was their company. That was their people. That's where their kind could be found. All through the week, God's people walk and function amongst the ungodly. They live in this world, or they ought to, as pilgrims, as strangers. But there is a place called the house of my God. There is a place where people of your own kind can be found. You would think that after living in the world, walking and functioning amongst the ungodly, that every child of God would do everything possible to get to this place where there are fellow pilgrims and strangers. And every time we see one another, it's a miracle, because the devil walks about seeking whom he may devour. And that's why we ought to greet one another and realize a miracle has taken place, that God has brought us safely through another few days to meet in the house of God. Now notice here in Psalm 55, 14, and walked unto the house of God. As far as I know, there isn't any of us here that walk to the house of God. We drive. Doesn't matter. But those are wonderful words. What a privilege. What an opportunity to go unto the house of God. And again, that should be a joyful trip. Going unto the house of God should be the best trip you make all week long. It should be a time of rejoicing. It should be a time of great expectation. We're almost there. The house of my God. They went unto the house. They walked unto the house of God in company. It's a wonderful thing when husband and wife go into the house of God together. When husband, wife, and children go into the house of God in company. These are wonderful things. The best family time you ought to have is the times when you're going to the house of God. The most exciting times that you ought to have as a family is when you're on your way to the house of God. Again, think of those words. The house of my God. The house of my God. What can be better? What can even compare to the house of our God? We see that word together. We see the word company. Together with brothers and sisters in Christ. In company with brothers and sisters in Christ. The devil has done a masterful job, at least in our group of fellowship, of causing people to misidentify who the enemy is. Your enemy isn't here. It certainly shouldn't be. These are brothers and sisters in Christ. Seventhly, notice Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Oh, what a blessing. God chose us to salvation. He didn't leave us to ourselves, but He caused us to approach unto Him. But notice the connection. That He may dwell. That He may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. The psalmist recognized it as a place of God's goodness. God is good. God is good in everything that He does. And everywhere you go in His house, there is the goodness of God. That is, it is a place of benevolence. It is a place of graciousness. It is a place of generosity of God. It is in the house of God we see the benevolence of God, the graciousness of God, the generosity of God, the goodness of God. Notice in Psalm 66, verse 13, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. He recognized it as a place where he could give unto the Lord. I will go into thy house. You realize what a blessing that is to be able to say that? I'm going to go to the house of God today. What a blessing. What a blessing. We ought to thank God for the health that enables us to do so. We ought to thank God for the means that enables us to do so. There may come a day, it comes in the lives of many, when they're not able to go to the house of God as much as they like because of health reasons. And that's to be providentially hindered. But even though you're providentially hindered, if you have a heart for the house of God, that doesn't make it easier. It's a burden. It's a great sadness. To have a heart for the house of God and not be able to get there for whatever reason, health or whatever. And we see people who mourn and weep because they're unable to get to the house of God. They may be in a nursing home. They may be in a hospital. They may have health problems. Again, it can be many, many, many things. And as I've said many times, I've always struggled. I feel for those people. And then you see people that are perfectly healthy and they choose to do other things. And I have to ask, Lord, why don't you put them in the nursing home? Why don't you put them in the hospital? That's the Lord's business. But it is a place I will go into thy house. It's not I'm just going to drive by the place. I'm going to go into the house of God. Now, if we're going to go into someone's house, they've either given us permission to enter or they're going to let us in. What a blessing to be able to go into the house of God. God says, come to my house today. And we say, well, we're going to do something else. I mean, that's awful. That's awful. There's no place like the house of God. And I'm going to go and I'm going to, he says, with burnt offerings. Ninthly, Psalm 84, verse 4. Get back to our text. We see that he recognized it as a place of enrichment. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. The word blessed speaks of happiness, joy, peace, assurance. The effect that God has upon a life. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. I don't care who you are. This world has a draining effect upon spirituality. But there is a place of enrichment. There is a place of enrichment. It is an oasis. It is an oasis in the midst of a desert. The house of my God. Tenthly, notice in Psalm 92, verse 13 and 14. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. We'll just stop there. What a blessing. To be planted. That means you have roots. Planted in the house of the Lord. Notice what will happen to these that are planted in the house of the Lord. They shall flourish. Where? In the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat. Not physically, but spiritually. And flourishing. He recognizes it as a place of spiritual growth. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they shall bring forth, they shall flourish. If they keep dwelling in the house of God, they will flourish. There's no way of getting around it. And they will bring forth fruit. It is a place of growth. Psalm 93, verse 5. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Eleventhly, he recognized that there is a place of holiness. It's his house. It's got to be a place of holiness. Last point as far as how the psalmist recognized the house of God. Notice in Psalm 135. He recognized it as a place of worship. Psalm 135, verses 1 through 3. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Again, think of those phrases, the house of the Lord, the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. Five times in those verses we read some form of the word praise, which is the expression of admiration. We come into the house of the Lord, and we do so to express admiration to God. We do so to pay tribute to God, to glorify Him. To exalt Him, to honor Him, to give Him thanks. It is the place that has been set aside by God Himself for the worship of the Lord. The highest occupation of man is to worship the Lord. There's nothing greater. There's nothing greater than man can do than to worship the Lord. Now, I'm quite aware that you can worship God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can worship God at work, but it's not like the house of God. I will say this. You ignore and you neglect the house of God. Don't kid yourself. You're not worshiping God during the week. You can kid yourself all you want. It's not happening. You cannot have a blatant disregard for the Lord's house and be right with God and worship the Lord. Well, I had something more important to do. The highest occupation of man is to worship God. What can be more important than the worship of the Lord in God's house that He has set aside? In light of all these things, how the psalmist recognized the house of the Lord, how devilish does one have to be to come into God's house with a bad attitude or in a bad mood? How can you walk into the house of God in a bad mood? You obviously did not think upon where you're going on your way here, because that gets you out of any bad mood that you got in during the day. I mean, how devilish does one have to be? How backslidden, how fleshly does one have to be to walk into the house of our God in a bad mood and with a bad attitude and for any other reason than to worship God? How devilish and how fleshly and how sinful does one have to be to go from here and to try to diminish whatever took place? I mean, that is the work of Satan. To go from the house of God and ridicule. That doesn't surprise me when somebody comes off from the street. They're lost. They do not know any better. And they go out the doors and they ridicule everything that was preached. They ridicule the people that were there. But then when God's people do it, I mean, how devilish do you have to be? This is the house of the Lord. How much dominion must sin have for us to leave the house of God in a bad mood, or to enter the house of God in a bad mood, or with a bad attitude, and just sit around and talk about whatever went on in the house of God? Talk about whoever. It's horrible. Let's look. 10 points, the heart and attitude of the psalmist toward the house of God. In Psalm 26, verse 8, we're going to go back to the same verses that we just looked at. Psalm 26, verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. I love. Notice it doesn't just say, I love thy house. It's not what it says. It says, I have loved the habitation. I like staying there, Lord. I love the habitation of thy house. He had a love for it. In his heart, there was a deep affection for the house of God. In his heart, there was a warmth for the house of God. In his heart, there was an attachment to the house of God. There was a devotion and a passion for the house of God. He had a love for the house of God. I mean, for those, well, I can't be in church Sunday. We're having a family reunion at Uncle Tom's house. his house is better than the house of God. Something better is going to happen there than the house of God. Please explain to me how in the world you can think like that. Well, we're going to go to the ball game. And we've got a picnic. We've been planning this for years. That makes it even worse. You've been planning to go somewhere else other than the house of God. My friend, that's worse than if you just did it on impulse. You actually planned to go somewhere else other than the house of God. The psalmist said, I love the house of the Lord. Notice Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire in his temple. We see that he had a desire toward the house of God. He had an aspiration. He was inclined toward the house of God. He says, I will seek after it. That is, he had a yearning for the house of God. It wasn't just someone who says, well, I hope I'm able to get there this week. He had a yearning. He had a longing. He had a craving. He had a determination to be in the house of God. And notice, this is not just a desire, but it's a desire of priority. He says one thing. That's priority. One thing have I desired. This is also expressed over in Psalm 84 and verse 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. So we see he had a love for the house of God. He had a desire for the house of God. Psalm 36, verse 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. He had a joy for the house of the Lord. He also viewed it as a place of opportunity and privilege. Psalm 55 in verse 14. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. And as they walked there, they had to be thinking, oh, how blessed we are. Oh, what an opportunity we have. What a privilege is ours to go unto the house of God. Psalm 92 verse 13 and 14, it talked about the growth and how the one who dwells in the house of God shall flourish. He's viewing it as a place of opportunity. He's viewing it as a privilege, as a blessing of life. Do you realize? We don't, but how many people? There are few people upon this planet throughout the history of mankind that has had the opportunity and the privilege that we enjoy to go unto the house of our God. Most people that have walked this earth had no idea that God had a house, and if he did, it didn't matter to them anyway. Oh, what a privilege. What a blessing. What an opportunity is ours. Fifthly, he felt blessed to have an association with the house of God. Notice Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. He felt blessed to be in the house of the Lord. There isn't any place on this earth that gives you more opportunity and privilege than the house of God. And there isn't a more blessed place in all the universe than the house of God. And the psalmist felt blessed to have an association with the house of God. He also noticed in Psalm 66, verse 13, again, we've read all these verses. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. He felt the need of self-preparation to enter the house of God. Said he'll bring his offerings into the house of God. That requires preparation. Read about the Levitical offerings. It requires preparation. Every one of those offerings requires preparation. And to go into the house of God, you shouldn't just stumble into the house of the Lord. We ought to come prepared. We ought to make preparation for the house of the Lord. And I believe preparation is a week-long thing. And I believe that's why we shouldn't stay out too late on Saturday evenings if we can help it. And wear ourselves out on Saturdays because we need to be prepared for the Lord's Day. We need to be prepared to go into the house of the Lord. Seventhly, Psalm 93. Psalm 93, verse 5. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Holiness becometh thine house. He felt an awe. He felt an awe. Just the thought of God's house. We ought to feel a sense of reverence and awe as we prepare to come to God's house. Some people make more preparation to go somewhere else than they do God's house. It should never be the case. And as we're on our way here, there ought to be a sense of awe. And as we pull into the parking lot, there ought to be a sense, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to come into your house. And there ought to be a sense of awe as we walk in the door of the house of the Lord. Eighthly, he felt an excitement. This is a verse we didn't look at, but in Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. I was excited when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. It should be one of the most exciting things in this life, going to the house of God. And the excitement ought to build all the way here. Ninthly, if we go back to our text in Psalm 84, Psalm 84 and verse 1, he felt a deep appreciation for the house of God. Verse 1, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Again, the idea there is one of fascination. It fascinated him. Just the thought of the house of God fascinated him. It's amazing. God's people will go on a trip. They'll go out of their way to go by the house of an athlete or to go by a house of a famous person. Oh, there's the house of someone. I saw the house of whoever. And what does that make you? What did it do in your life? Nothing. But to go, how excited we ought to be and how much we ought to be willing to go out of our way to go to the house of God. That's why I believe if you go away on a Sunday, you ought to be able to get to one of the Lord's houses. You say, I'd have to drive 3 hours. Get in your car and drive 3 hours. You do it for some other things. I don't care if you got to drive 6 hours. Well, that's my vacation. What is better? The house of the Lord. Make no apology, parents, for bringing your children to the house of God. Don't ever feel guilty. If you never took them on a vacation, but instead you went to Bible college, don't feel guilty about that. They may not appreciate it, but too bad. It's nothing to feel guilty about. Lastly, Psalm 84, verse 10. He felt the house of God to be superior to anything else in the world. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. That is quite a statement. We have preached from that verse, those words, many times. One day, and we don't even spend a day. To my knowledge, we've never spent 24 hours in the house of the Lord. One day is better, one day in the house of the Lord is better than a thousand days anywhere else. A thousand days is 2 years and 9 months, approximately. 2 years and 9 months. That's living. Spend your days in the house of the Lord is to be full of life. One day in the house of the Lord is better than a thousand days or 2 years, 9 months anywhere else. There aren't too many people who believe that. There's very few. Do you honestly believe that it is more of a blessing to walk into the doors of the house of God than to spend a thousand days in the most whatever place you'd like to go to? That's what the psalmist said. It's better than a thousand days anywhere else. One day, doing what you do in the house of the Lord is better than a thousand days of doing anything else. Better than 2 years and 9 months of doing anything else. Notice that phrase there in verse 10. Better than. One day in thy courts is better than a thousand. The word better means preferable. That is, I would prefer to be in the house of God one day than a thousand days anywhere else. It means better than means more advantageous. Well, I've got an opportunity to go to such and such a place. One day in the house of the Lord is more advantageous than a thousand days anywhere else. I mean, do you honestly believe? Well, this is an opportunity that I can't pass up. You'll pass up on going to God's house for supposedly an opportunity you can't pass up. You know what that means? That means you're saying that whatever it is you can't pass up is better than the house of the Lord in your mind. Better than. One day in the house of the Lord is more suitable to me, more suitable to my spiritual well-being than a thousand days anywhere else. You can miss going to a lot of places and not miss a lot of things. But I promise you, you miss something every time you don't go to the house of God. You miss something when you just show up in body and you're really not here. You miss something. There's nothing more appropriate. It's better than. That is, one day in the house of God is more appropriate than a thousand days anywhere else. It's more useful. It's more useful. How many people really believe that? Not many. There are some. But there aren't very many that really believe that a day, well, it's just one service. You know how many times I've heard that? Well, Brother Dan, it's just one service. Do you realize what you're talking about? You're talking about the house of my God. You're talking about the house of your God. Well, it's just one time. Better think about what you're saying. That's a shameful statement. Well, it's not like we miss every week. And again, I'm not talking about those who are providentially hindered. They grieve. It's better than, that is, it's more valuable than 1,000 days anywhere else. To be in the house of God is more valuable. That is, if we come in the right spirit and the right attitude, it's more valuable than 1,000 days anywhere else. So do you realize that if you and I come into the house of God week after week, we come in the right spirit, we come in the right attitude, we come to worship God, do you realize that if one day of doing that is better than 1,000, do you realize that by the time you get to the end of your life, what a full and wonderful life you've lived? If one day is better than 1,000, oh, what a life. What a wonderful life to spend it in the house of the Lord. To the psalmist, it was the most desirable place in the world. You don't know how hard it is for me sometimes when people will say, Brother Dan, you know we want to be there. Well, no, I don't know that. Because if you choose to go somewhere else, what that means to me is you'd rather be there. I understand. There are times when you have to go somewhere. It can be a family, again, providentially hindered. That's different. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about when we deliberately plan on going where we cannot have access to the house of the Lord. That's why there's a lot of places in this world that people want to go to I have no desire to go to. Because to my knowledge, there's no house of the Lord there. And if I'm going to be there on Sunday, I want to be in the house of the Lord. So this verse declares, Psalm 84:10, that we trade away an enormous amount when you choose something else over the house of God. If one day is better than 1,000, oh, what we trade away. So the house of God, and again, I believe most of those psalms were written that David was, he couldn't get to the house of God. He was a fugitive. And he was longing. He was longing for the house of the Lord. I'll be honest, I don't understand. I don't understand how one who has been planted or says they've been planted in the house of the Lord can have so little regard for God's house. I don't understand that. And I don't even try to. It's hard to understand. It's hard to fathom. We ought to long. And as Hebrews 10:25 says, as we see the day approaching, so much the more as you see the day approaching. God's house ought to be more full today than it has been. Conferences ought to be more full than they have been in the past. Well, Berdine, you understand, we just don't have the time that we used to, and whose choice is that? Be honest. A lot of things you've made yourself busy in that you didn't have to. We have just as much time as we ever did before. Still 24 hours in a day, still 7 days a week. But we have chosen, all of us, including myself, we have chosen to get distracted by many things. But we ought to have a desire. We ought to have a longing for the house of the Lord. And there in Acts chapter 28, we're not going to turn there, but Paul took courage. The It says when he saw the brethren. We ought to take courage. It ought to encourage us to see that our brothers and sisters have made it through another couple of days. That the devil hasn't been able to conquer them. That ought to thrill us. It ought to cause us to want to pray for one another. And we ought to take courage. Just seeing one another, we ought to take courage. That God is still on the throne. What a blessing we have to be in the house of the Lord. I lived the first 18 years of my life with not a care for the house of God. But for the last 42 years, I had to do the math, last 42 years, I've longed to be in God's house every Sunday, every Wednesday, and whenever else I can. It blesses me. It blesses me to be in the house of the Lord. It blesses all of us. And we ought to consider it a great blessing. Not only did God save me, but He planted me in His house. I don't want to ever take that for granted. Because there may come a day when I am physically unable to come to the house of the Lord. I hope that day never comes. But there may come a day. There may come a day for every one of us where we may not be able to get to the house of God. We may not have transportation and we may not have anyone to bring us. How sad. So we ought to take advantage of every single opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us.